Appellate courts range from cold to hot. I'm sure we all know this spectrum. A cold court is one where when you get up there to give your oral argument, the judges know nothing about your case. There are no cold appellate courts in Texas. On the other extreme, a very hot court is one where the judges have read the briefs, they've actually assigned an opinion, and an opinion has actually been written that may just have a few blank spots that they want you to fill in at oral argument. I don't know of any Texas courts that are that hot that they already have an opinion written. But most of the courts are pretty warm. They have read the briefs. They've read a detailed staff memo about the case. One justice told me by the time she goes to oral argument, she's read the entire record. So they come prepared for our oral argument at least as much as we do. So that's our problem. We want to come in there and run a straight race, and the Court of Appeals justices want to have a demolition derby. They want to just be able to come at you from all sides. So we all want to stick to our storylines, but sometimes we can't. I think we've all had the experience of having our time completely stolen by a judge asking irrelevant questions or hypothetical questions, like, well, counsel, would your answer be differently if there were not fingerprint evidence in this case? Well, I don't know. That's not my case. So you have to answer the questions, of course, but it's perfectly okay to answer the question, I don't know, Your Honor. I didn't research that issue because that's not the issue in this case. The issue in this case is, and veer back into your issue. Now, if the judge starts asking you the questions again, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But the positive side of that is if one judge is just wasting your time with irrelevant questions and making your oral argument that much less effective, there's a good chance she's going to annoy the other two judges on the panel. We used to have a great Chief Justice at the San Antonio Court of Appeals, Carlos Cadena, a very smart man. And we had another judge on that court years ago who was not a very smart man. I'm not going to name him. But what he did at oral argument was ask you a dumb question. Judge Hervey knows who this is. He would ask you a dumb question. You'd answer it. He'd repeat the question. You'd try to answer it a different way. And he would keep at it. And as he did this, Judge Cadena would slowly turn his chair until he had his back completely to the other judge. It was the least subtle body language you've ever seen. But you can see more subtle variations of that a lot of times on an appellate panel. And sometimes I have had the experience of having all my time taken away, and it's so bothered the presiding judge that she gave me additional time. But that's about all you can do, except try to set aside those irrelevant questions as quickly as possible and veer back to your storyline. Sometimes you're just the foil. Sometimes you're just the racquetball wall that two judges are playing off of. You know, when you're getting questions like, well, counsel, isn't it true that, and then another judge chimes in and says, yes, counsel, but wouldn't you also agree that, and there is nothing for you to do except stand there and have the balls bounced off of you. But it's annoying, but it's also a little bit fascinating because you're seeing play out right in front of you what's supposed to be behind the curtain. So again, this can give you material for a post-submission brief. You can see right where the conflict is. And maybe, if you're lucky, you can come up with an answer that satisfies them both and say, yes, Justice Martinez, you're right. Yes, Justice Smith, you're right. And under both your scenarios, you rule in my favor. And I'm going to give you a little tip on how you might make that happen. When a court has granted oral argument, it's a signal they think the case needs extra attention. So obviously you need to give it extra attention too. So know the court's previous opinions on this issue. Know what position each of the judges on your panel took. If they all agreed and everything was smooth sailing, you wouldn't be there for oral argument. So there's something going on. And if you can know both those previously expressed opinions and somehow harmonize them, you can have that answer ready to go at oral argument. You can also, if you familiarize yourself with the cases, say, Justice Smith, you wrote about this in Hernandez v. State, and what you said in that case that was relevant is the defendant isn't required to object to something that everybody in the courtroom sees is going on. I wouldn't do that every time by any means, but it's a way to draw somebody into the discussion and see what they're thinking. Because you want everyone involved everyone in front of you involved in the conversation. Because the best oral arguments are conversations, if you can make them that way. One of the best oral arguments I ever had was in a case called Ford v. State at the Court of Criminal Appeals. It was the first time they granted review to address the then new statute allowing for the collection of cell tower data location. And it was a genuine discussion. You know, a lot of times when judges ask you questions at oral argument, it's to show how smart they are or how well they know the case or how well prepared they came. But in this case, it was addressing a brand new topic, and they were asking me questions and genuinely listening to the answers. So it was great. If you can turn that into something, you're doing a good job. Years ago, before I became a briefing attorney at the Court of Criminal Appeals, I took a tour of that court with some other law students, and I asked them, we got to talk to most of the judges, and I asked them, what good is oral argument? Why do you have oral argument? Because, you know, when the judge or staff attorney or whoever it is sits down to write the opinion, they're not going to have the oral argument in front of them. They're just going to have the briefs. And Judge Marvin Teague said something that I've always remembered. He said, for me, the value of oral argument is in those cases where I don't draw the opinion. Because when the opinion then does come across my desk, I remember the case better because of the oral argument. So if you're lucky enough to get oral argument granted, do something to make your case memorable. Pick out some poignant detail from the trial that shifts sympathy to your side and will remind those judges who didn't draw the opinion of the case when it comes across.